Pastor Varun and Pastor Dala Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I'd really like to encourage every leader in the church to listen to every single CD that we produce. You know, the Lord spoke to me this morning when I woke up. He asked me to tell the leader that our leader needs to be the type of people who will pray all the time, who will love the Word of God, and also listen to what God say in this church. Because if you want to move together in unity, you need to understand what is God is speaking through the pastor into the church, so that we can understand what we are doing in the church together. I say that every teaching in the church is for this time of the church, and we want to move together in unity. Amen. So I want to encourage every one of you to listen, and just don't listen like getting the mileage. Today somebody told me that they listen like getting the mileage to get to 90,000 miles in order to get the free ticket. So you don't listen like, oh, I'm going to listen to 50 CDs to get the mileage. No, you listen carefully. The way I listen to the teaching of God in my car, I listen for a few sentences, and then I stop and meditate and digest and begin to think about what God said to me. Don't listen, try to finish the whole CD very quickly, but listen and meditate on it. Because actually in the teaching, you don't get everything in one time. But if you listen again and again, you're going to get a lot in the teaching. There are many things, the mystery that God is speaking to the church, but we miss because we fall asleep, we are too tired. Maybe our mind just goes somewhere else. Amen. Let us confess together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that your word gives me life. Your word is more sweeter than honey. It is my foundation. It gives me power and healing. I will be changed. My mind will be transformed by your word. I will become more like Christ. I will be changed from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name. My heart is open right now. My mind is receptive. I will be changed. And it will never be the same. Never, never be the same. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Last night, we talked about praying to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And I talked about we have only one God. Is that right? We have only one God that we worship. We don't worship to any idols, any statues, any pictures, or any image. Let's look at this scripture together about prayer. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." This is important. Every time you pray, every time you talk to God, don't take the name of God or the name of Jesus in vain. You know, when you read this scripture, you think about the word profanity. You think about the word cursing, that people curse God, people talk, use the bad language about God. But it's not only about that. You know, sometimes you heard people say D-A-M and followed by G-O-D. And that is using the name of God in vain. So, G-O-D and then D-A-M. I don't want to say it. Okay? So that is profanity. But many times we use the name of God in vain in this way. We use it as a slang, the slang presentation. Like we say, "Oh my God," like this. "Oh my God." Or some people, when something drop on the floor, they say, "Jesus," like this. That is using the name of God in vain. Some people say like this, "Jesus, Joseph, and Mary." Some people use the exclamation that way. "Jesus, Joseph, and Mary." I heard that before. Some people say, oh my God, there is a, you know, there is a Thai lakorn, Thai movie in the TV. There's a one guy that every time he got mad at something, he said, oh my God. And when I look at that, please don't do that. You use the name of God in vain. You know, he didn't even say, oh my God, he'd make his hand like this too. So you can see that the non-believers, you know, from Bang Rak Soi Kao. You know, it's a Thai movie in the TV. You know, so be careful. Don't use the name of God in vain. Every time you talk the name of God, you either talk to Him reverently, respectfully, or you talk about Him. Don't just claim His name in vain. Amen. So don't say Jesus like this. Don't say, oh my God. Please don't do that. Because that is not the real form of prayer. Don't use slang expression in the name of God. The Bible says again, don't use vain repetitions. In the leaders in the time of Jesus, they pray long prayers. They were standing in the street and they're just praying and praying long, long prayers. In order to what? In order to impress people. So we need to be careful that we don't pray in order to make people see how great we are, how powerful a praying person we are. We don't try to impress anyone. Sometimes Christians go into what we call religion. The reason I keep the file of God in the church is that I don't want religion in the church. Religion will come this way, controlling, putting the law on people, give a lot of laws so people can follow, threaten people, scare people. If you don't do this, you are bad sheep. You know, and religion always show off to see how great he is and how great that person is. Those are religion. And we don't want religion in a church. A lot of times people get, after we become Christian for a long time, we begin to get bombarded by the demons of religion. And demon of religion usually come along with the demons of pride. When the pride come in, I know a lot of scriptures. I know how to pray. Look at me. I pray scripture. I pray powerfully. Look at me. I use all these kind of words. Beware of using some kind of word, something like this. Oh God, thank thee for coming here with us. May thou bless me indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be careful of using those kind of, you know, voice tone or word thou and thee. Let me ask you a question. Do you go to your dad and talk to your dad like this? Thou, how art thou doing? You talk to your dad like that? If you don't talk to your dad like that, don't talk like that to God. Because God is your dad. That is religion. You know, religion will say, I'm a great prayer warrior. I'm a great evangelist. No one can pray like me. But you know, I tell you this, every good thing that happened through you comes from God. Every good thing. I want to tell you one more time. I have been preaching for more than 20 years now on the pulpit. I've been being a pastor for more than 24 years. But every single night before I preach, I still feel that I could not do it. I could not do it. You know why I feel that way in my bedroom or in my home when I need to read my sermon two or three times? Because I feel I could not do it. The reason I feel that way is because the anointing was not there at that time. But every time I came up here, the anointing came at the right time and helped me to preach. So every good thing that happened to us come or through us come by the anointing. By the goodness of God. You may boast that you are a great prayer warrior, but I tell you right now, the reason you pray very well, because you have read some book, because you learn about prayer from some preacher and pastors, because you have learned from somebody else's example. So don't boast, because every good thing that comes to you comes from God anyway. We have no way to boast at all. You know, when I look at our church, I see the youth worship team, see the youth team, PJ and Jason. I look at Banji, look at Kenny, look at All the singer in the church, all the pastor leader, look at Phil and Millard and all these people. Look at Pang who designed the t-shirt. You know, when I will look at you, I never boast. I never think even one time, how great a pastor I am. These people come because of me. No. I think this way. These people come to this church by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. You are here not because I'm good. You are here because of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Therefore, we have nothing to boast about. We only boast about Jesus. We only boast about the goodness of God. Therefore, in your prayer life, don't be too religious. Amen. And not only that, don't try to pray in such a way that you show your false humility to God. I want to tell you one thing about prayer life. This is very important. God see through into your life, your motives and your attitudes. God know what you are leading to. God know what you are coming up to. God knows your motive. Amen? Amen. You cannot lie to God. You can fool me. You can fool the leaders. You can fool other people. But you cannot fool God. Therefore, you need to make sure you keep your motive very humble, very pure. Amen? You need to check your motive in everything you do, even in your prayer. Why you pray like that? Why do you ask God? Why you come to the altar to ask God? Is your motive correct? Or you kind of try to lead into something with your selfish motive? God see through your heart. Check your heart first before you pray. Make sure that your motive is pure. Your conscience is clear. Amen. Every time you come to the throne room of God, in the name of Jesus, make sure you have the clean heart, the clean hand, and the pure heart. The Bible says you will never see God without having the clean hand and pure heart. Amen. Check your motive every single day. Amen. I'm going to go to Bangkok in a few weeks. And God asked me this question. Are you going there to build your own church? Or are you going there just because you obey me? And I have to check my motive. I'm going there to build my kingdom. I'm going there just because I obey God. That's the motive you need to check. If you go with the right motive, then God will use you. And God will answer your prayer. Amen? Some people may say, can I pray that I can send that lady home? That I will have a chance to send her home tonight. But you know, the motive behind sending her home is that so that she will like me. That is a wrong motive. Amen? So don't pray with the wrong motive. Check your motive all the time. Our church want to do everything according to the word of God. That's why we study about prayer. That's why we want to pray effectively. We don't want to pray in vain, mean that we pray uselessly. We don't want just to throw our word out in the air and then nothing happen. How many people want to get result when you pray? How many people don't want to waste your voice when you pray? You want to get result. Everyone say, I want the result. So in order to get the result, what you need to do is to pray according to what the Bible says. The Bible will teach us how to pray. Please, in your Christian walk, don't quote a song. That song says so. Don't quote the preacher. If the preacher doesn't preach the Bible. Amen. Don't quote anything else except the Bible. You know, when I listen to the great teacher in the body of Christ, I screen everything that the person say by using the word of God as my standard. I don't believe in everything people say. I'm going to look at the Bible first. I don't say they're wrong. Because sometimes can have personal opinion. They just present their opinion, but they may not be biblical. So you have to be careful to follow the word of God. Everything that you do must be based on the word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, mean of Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blow and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, And the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell. And great was its fall. The Lord Jesus said like this. Every one of us is going to face trials and hardships and tests in our life. If our life is built on the opinions of man, our life is based on some wrong doctrine, if our life is based on the saying of our grandparents, the teacher at the school, what the TV say, what the government say, when the trial or the wind comes, we're going to fall. And great is the fall of our life. That's why we need to know the Word of God. If we're going to pray, we need to pray according to the Word of God. If we're going to pray, we need to pray the right, biblical, correct way. Amen. That's the whole purpose of this teaching, is that we're going to pray according to what the Word of God say. And I want to tell you, the Word already became the flesh. And His name is Jesus. So we're going to look at what Jesus says, how to pray. And tonight we're going to talk about the first principle of prayer. I already give introduction for the past two sermons. I have altogether 14 sermons in this session. And I have only two more nights. So you understand what's going to happen after that. It means that another 10 sermons are going to go on Sunday. Look at what the Bible says about what model we need to follow. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Our best praying model, our best praying example is not Pastor Lau, is not a preacher. No one in the world is greater in the praying life than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best praying person that we can follow in this whole wide world, in the world history. So that's why we're going to look at the Bible, how Jesus prayed, what Jesus talked about prayer. But before we learn that, we need to make some commitment together. Otherwise, the teaching in this camp will not be good for you. Let's make a commitment together. Amen. We're going to speak to Jesus. We're going to speak to the Father and speak to the Holy Spirit, that we make commitment that we're going to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people want to make a commitment? Amen. Let's say it together. Father in heaven, I make a commitment tonight. And I will follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ, your Son. I will pray the way He prayed. I will follow His example. Help me indeed, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So whatever Jesus told us in the written word, we will do it. Amen. How many people promise that? So look at the first one. This is a good one. You will like this one. Matthew 43-44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. In fact, this is the first teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ about prayer. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, pray for the enemy. The important key of successful, effective prayer is love. Our Christian walk, in fact, is so simple. I tell you, sometimes preachers try to make it so complicated about how to walk with God, maybe 10 principles, 15 principles, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Very complicated. But actually, Christian walk is so simple. Two words. Faith and love. Just two things. Love. And actually, the book of Galatians say like this. Faith works by love. Love and faith come together. I'm going to explain to you in a minute here. That is so important. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about pray in faith. But tonight we're going to talk about pray in love and by love. Amen. This scripture say that pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The Bible never say like this. When somebody persecute you, you pray in the name of Jesus, Father, send fire from heaven, the real fire, to burn them up. Give them cancer. Give them accident. Burn them. Get rid of them. Did the Bible say that? No. You remember one time Peter and John were so upset with a group of people in the city because they did not accept Jesus Christ's teaching? Jesus walked into the city, and then Peter and John came to the master and said, Master, pray to the Father, send fire to burn the city. Wow. Wow, even the disciple that Jesus picked by his own hand say like that, I have hope now that a lot of people in our church are going to change one day, more and more to become like Jesus Christ. Amen? Who are you praying to? Pray to the Father. We are praying to God, is that right? And you are praying to what kind of God? God is love. So you are love children who pray to the loving God. You pray to love. Listen one more time. You pray to love because God is love. So if you don't pray in love and you are not a loving children and you try to pray to love, it's not going to work. Listen carefully. Is that right? Think about it. You are praying to love, but you hate people all the time. You don't forgive people all the time. You know, a lot of people misunderstand the word love, especially in America. I heard people say like this all the time in the operating room. While I was performing surgery, people say, I love my dog, I love pizza, I love steak, I love this, and I love that. And you know what they mean is this. I love as long as those things make me feel comfortable and make me happy. That is not the love that God talks about. God is talking about love even your enemy. People say like this, I fall in love. The first year, open the door. The cheese, the honey will walk into the door. But by the third year, they fall out of love. Just bang on the door and almost snap on her hand when she walks into the car. There people fall in love and people fall out of love. That is not the love that God is talking about. God is not talking about the fluctuating feeling. Love is not feeling. Because if love is the feeling, when your feeling is down, you're not going to love. Is that right? Love does not depend on feeling at all. God loves us unconditionally, and He paid the price for us, no matter what. Amen? As the children of God, we should walk in love like Him. If we want to be effective prayer warrior, if we want to be praying person, effective praying person, we need to walk in love. We should love people even though they hurt us and persecute us and hate us. I want to tell you this. There is no defense against love. There is no defense against love. What I try to say is that love never fails. No one can stop you from loving them except yourself. People can throw stuff to you. People can hurt you. But if you make a decision to love, they cannot stop you. Love is the most powerful weapon that even the devil has no weapon to come against. Listen one more time. The devil has no weapon to come against love. When you walk in love, the devil cannot do anything to you. Amen. That's why love is so important. The devil is so cunning. He will try to do every way to make people hate one another in the local church or between churches. And the way he does is to lie. He is a liar. He will lie to you. I went to a revival meeting. And some of people say like this, oh, Pastor Lau changed now. He's not a loving person anymore. And I know that is a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the devil. You know why? Because I was dealing with about 300 people. So I was laying hand on people. I have no time to say hi to people. I was laying hand on people for 2 hours. So I have no time to sit down and say chit chat and say hi, how are you? So people misinterpret me that I don't love them because the devil lied to them. Be careful when you heard the voice in your ear, not in your heart, in your ear. Oh, he doesn't love me, he doesn't like me, blah, 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 like that. Don't listen. Any word that comes to your heart that, oh, he to cause you to hate somebody, to cause you to not to like somebody, is not from God. Because God will only speak to you to love. Period. God never tells you to hate people. God will never tell you to judge people. You know, I stop judging people. Amen. I stop hating people because it's not healthy. It's not walking in the way of God. So we need to walk in love. So people may be immature around you. They may make mistakes. That's okay. Love them, forgive them, pray for them instead of judging them and hating them. One thing that I learned from the scripture, this is kind of scary when you read this scripture. Listen carefully. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, you therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Ooh. If I walk around and I judge her that she is a prideful woman, you know what I'm doing? I am a prideful person too. Whatever I judge other people, the Bible says that I do the same thing. So that's why we need to stop passing judgment on people. Don't criticize any church. Don't criticize any pastors. Don't criticize any members. Don't criticize your wife. Don't judge your husband. You have the job to love, to pray for, and to sow the seed of love. You don't have the job to judge anyone and hate anyone. You just have to love people. Amen? So we have to be careful with your mouth. Jesus said like this, love your enemy. Does he mean that you will feel wonderful when you love them? Listen carefully. When Jesus say love your enemy, he doesn't mean that you feel wonderful about that person. Okay? It doesn't mean that you don't have the negative feeling about that person. Feelings and love is different. You may feel inside you want to slap on their face. You have that feeling. But you don't let your feeling to overcome you. You understand what I mean? Even though you may feel bad about somebody's behavior, but your job is to make a decision to love them. Let me ask you this question. Do you think God feels very good about everything that happened on earth right now? No. That's why sometimes when people pray intercession, they cry because the Holy Spirit, one day, God came upon me so strong on Mercer Island in one person house. And I cry like a baby. I cry nonstop for 15 minutes under the Holy Spirit. And I ask God, why do I feel so embarrassed? Because a lot of people sit there, they know that I'm a neurosurgeon. I'm a pastor of a church. And I cry like a baby. And God said that, spoke to me that I was crying through you for the lost soul. Intercede for the lost soul right now. God is not happy with what people are doing right now. You understand what I'm talking about? God doesn't feel good when people sin. But God still loves them. Don't mix the feeling and the action of love. Don't mix the feeling and the fruit of the Holy Spirit with love. When I see my kids do some wrong thing, I don't feel good. Sometimes I want to pull the stick out and spank them. But it doesn't mean that I don't love them. You understand what I mean? So when you feel bad about something, it doesn't mean you don't love. You still love. But you depend on the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you, to pour the love of God into you. Amen? I want to tell you that in the past 2 years, God really healed me. At one point, I was very hurt. You know, I feel that people, some friend of mine, forsook me and they did not treat me correctly. I was very hurt for many months. But thank God for the fire of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God will shed His love upon our life by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the origin, is the giver of love. He is love. Is that right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit starts with the first love, the first word, love. So when you are touched by the fire of God all the time, by the Holy Spirit all the time, eventually you get healed from that bad feeling, from the anger, the bitterness inside you. And I want to tell you the good news. I am set free now. I don't have bitterness against those people anymore. I love them. Actually, I still pray for them every day. I still think good about them. Amen. We should not let any bitterness and anger to stay in our heart. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said like this, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. The Greek language, the word curse means to doom and to down. Some people doom you. Some people put down on you. Have you ever heard people put down on you? Oh, he will never make it. Oh, who he is can come to do like this in this city. Sometimes people talk down on you. They curse you. They doom you. But the Bible says that sometimes people insult you. Some people treat you abusively. Accuse you falsely. People accuse one another. Our job is not to hate those people. Our responsibility is to bless those people. Speak blessing upon them. Bless them. Can we do that? Bless those who hurt you. You live to love and you pray to love. And you pray in love. And our faith will not work until we love. You notice that Jesus Christ performed so many miracles. I believe that one of the reasons he can perform so many miracles because he operates his faith in love. Amen? How many people want to walk in the power? You need to walk in love first. Because your faith is not going to work without love. Amen. So that is the way to live. You know, the scripture talk about love. Sometimes it's kind of very interesting subject to talk about. I'm not talking about interesting subject. I'm talking about living a lifestyle of loving people. Amen? This is not a doctrine. This is a lifestyle. You live a lifestyle of loving people. Amen. If you get mad at somebody, if somebody get mad at you, let's do what Jesus said. Jesus said like this, Father in heaven, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. One of my weaknesses in the past is that if somebody criticized me behind my back, I will be very mad. Because I feel more self-conscious more than God-conscious for a long time. But now, God set me free. Every time I heard something that some people talk bad about me, the first sentence come up in my heart like this. Father, they don't know what they're doing. Please forgive them. I'm going to continue to love these people. I will pray for them. I will bless them. Bless them, Father, that they will have a great, you know, success in their life. Keep them up, Lord. Don't let them down. Please bless these people. Amen. You don't need to worry about it if people curse you. Because the Bible promised this. The Bible promised that who that bless you, I will bless. And they that curse you, I will curse. I remember one time, many years ago, a gentleman in Seattle say like this. He called all the Thai friends. At that time, when I started the church, we reach out mostly to Thai people. So this man kept calling people in the city and say like this, Dr. Varun, they call me Dr. Varun. Dr. Varun is not tall and handsome with blue eyes and brown and blonde hair. How he can be a pastor in America? He is too young. He doesn't even go to Bible school. He is in the level of just drinking milk. How can he pastor? And he kept calling people and criticize me and tell people not to come to our church. And I heard about it. People came and report to me. I tell you, the first reaction is like this. My first reaction. Huh. Do you know that I know side kick, front kick, round kick, jump kick? Do you know that I'm third degree black belt? I want to just go to your home and slap on your face. That's my first reaction. I tell you the truth. That's my first reaction. I was so furious. when I heard about that. This man, how dare he do that about me? Say that about me. Suddenly I remember, I was driving my Jetta, Volkswagen. I was living in Green Lake at that time. I was driving and then the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart, son, you need to forgive him and pray for him. You know, my flesh like, I don't want to forgive this man. I want to just go to just do something. But I said, God, I yield to you. I forgive him and I will pray for him. I have tears in my eyes. I cry. And I say, God, help me by the Holy Spirit to forgive this man. And I did. I forgave that man. And you know what happened? 6 months or so later on, he did not stop. He kept doing it. He kept doing it. Suddenly, I got a phone call that he was in University Hospital ICU, dying from rupture abscess in his liver. The doctor said that he very close to death. I and Noi Johnson went there. I don't know if she got married yet at that time. Maybe Noi, another last name. You know, we went there to pray for the man, and God raised him up. God has mercy on him. And since that time, he dare not talk about me. Because he learned the lesson. I want to tell you this thing. If a man or a woman is so committed to God, is so on fire for God, faithful in doing the will of God, and you criticize that man or that woman, you are seeking spanking of God. Don't touch other anointed people. Amen? Don't touch them. When you criticize them, God considers you criticize him yourself. You know what I mean? God considers that you criticize him directly. Think about it. I don't ordain myself. I did not call myself. I did not anoint myself to be a pastor. I did not want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a rich neurosurgeon, having 3 boats and 3 airplanes and have nice swimming pool. I did not plan to be a pastor. But God called me. So if you criticize me, you criticize God. Because God called the man. Don't criticize Pastor Wilson. Don't criticize Pastor Noom. Don't criticize Pastor Mary May or anyone. Don't criticize anybody in the church because you criticize them, you criticize God. Amen. Amen. This is very important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you listening? Yes. You look so happy tonight. Very happy tonight. So the first thing that Jesus taught us is to love. Is to love people. Amen. The Bible also say like this. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Don't curse them, pray for them. Amen. Don't curse anybody, but only pray for people. You know how to reverse the curse. When people throw a curse to you, the way you stop that and reverse it is to bless that person. If you curse them back, that curse is going to come to you. Because you know what? You reap what you sow. People who curse you, they're going to reap the curse. But if you bless people, you're going to reap the blessing. So don't curse people, but only bless people. Amen. People are going to persecute you, lie about you, hate you. That's normal because you love Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should walk in love. How many people feel hurt sometimes when people talk bad about you? How many people feel betrayed sometimes? People betray you. You are good to them, but they are not good to you. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them and love them. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. So the same line here. Before you come to the altar, before you come to the Father, God said before you ask anything, before you present the offering to God, the first thing you do is to forgive your enemy. You go back and reconcile to that person. Amen. Unforgiveness. Bitterness is the very powerful hindrance of your prayer life. Your prayer will not be effective if you live in unforgiveness.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.